Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as God, free as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
To celebrate the 233rd anniversary of our godless and secular Constitution.
Then we celebrate the life and legacy of devoted freethinker, Darwin scholar, and distinguished poet,
Philip Appleman, who died earlier this year.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. Although Hurricane Sally has been downgraded to a tropical depression as it moves northeastwards across the U.S. states of Alabama and Georgia, communities can still expect to suffer from historic and catastrophic flooding. Citing authorities there, the UN World Meteorological Organization, WMO, warned that a significant flood threat would likely spread inland on Friday. Along the central Gulf Coast, most river flooding will crest by the weekend, but rivers will remain elevated well into next week, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Sally has already produced up to 18 inches or 457 millimeters of rain. Additional cloudbursts are forecast, bringing as much as 12 inches more rainfall or 304 millimeters on the U.S. Gulf Coast, where Sally made landfall on Wednesday. To date, hundreds of thousands of people were left without electricity, and at least one person has been killed, according to reports. Images from Pensacola City in Florida showed trees down, boats thrown about, and streets flooded, with the water some 5.5 feet or 1.6 meters above sea level. To Burundi now, where UN-appointed investigators have issued fresh warnings about ongoing rights violations and impunity since the death of former President Pierre Nkurunziza. In a new report requested by the Human Rights Council, the Commission of Inquiry on Burundi said that there had been little in the way of positive changes since President Evariste Ndayishimiye assumed office in June. Commission of Inquiry member Francoise Hampson described evidence of serious human rights violations during this year's elections, including summary executions, torture and sexual violence.
In recent weeks, there have continued to be killings. There have continued to be arbitrary detention, and there have continued to be disappearances. So it's slightly surprisingly, perhaps, it's continuing as it was, even though the elections are finished. And that is a matter of very grave concern.
In a virtual press conference, Commission of Inquiry Chairperson Dudu Dien warned that policy shifts, appointments and public statements by the new government showed more cause for concern and warning than promise. This was because key positions in the new government included individuals who'd been identified as having committed previous rights violations. In addition, the majority of new appointments were from the military, Mr. Dien added, while there continued to be no way to bring violators to account inside the country. The report will be presented to the Human Rights Council next Wednesday. Finally, on the 75th anniversary of the UN and with the COVID-19 pandemic still unfolding, the organization has for the first time brought world leaders together for the start of an unprecedented and mostly virtual General Assembly to push for action and solutions to the global crisis. The high-level event follows a warning from Secretary General Antonio Guterres that the outbreak remains out of control and that once a safe vaccine is created, it should be available to everyone as a global good. According to the World Health Organization, nearly 1 million people have died from the virus, with the Americas worst affected. The customary general debate, beginning on Tuesday the 22nd of September, is an opportunity to watch and listen to what dozens of heads of state have to say about the coronavirus and other challenges their countries face. But other events will also highlight action and solutions that are needed to secure healthy, peaceful and prosperous lives for all. This includes an opportunity for member states to recommit to meaningful international cooperation at an event on Monday. A pledge is needed, the UN believes, to bring about a global ceasefire, tackle climate change and transition to a zero-carbon economy, among other urgent challenges. To follow the events as they're broadcast live, go to webtv.un.org. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Thank you.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and happy Constitution Day. It's the 233rd anniversary of the adoption of our entirely secular and godless Constitution in the United States.
And I'm Dan Barker. This is the September 17th, 2020 edition of Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie and I are hosting this show not from our safer at home studio like the last, 25. We had connection problems today, so we are down at Buzz Kemper's studio, Audio for the Arts, safer at studio, Audio for the Arts studio, which is down near the Wisconsin State Capitol.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national nonprofit working to keep religion out of government and to educate the public about the views of non-believers, and that includes our 32,000 current members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who are mainly atheists and agnostics. And we would love to send you more information about FFRF, including a sample of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, or you can simply join us in our vital work at fffrf.org.
We have some sad news. The Darwin scholar and poet laureate of free thought, Philip Appleman, has died. Philip Appleman was what we call an afterlife member and a very good friend of ours for many years. And in a few minutes, we will memorialize Philip Appleman by hearing a song set to his poetry.
And we're going to listen to a very poignant interview he gave to Bill Moyers on PBS recently. And Dan, you should explain what an afterlife member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation means.
Well, so some people become life members, which means they never have to renew. But some members wanted to give more, and they wanted to make sure that their legacy lives on after they're dead. So they become afterlife members, which will continue to support our work into the
future.
And that's,
of course, tongue-in-cheek, and so much more of Philip Appleman's work and life will live after him.
The singer-songwriter Ani DiFranco turns 50 this week. She was born September 23rd, 1970. In an interview for The Progressive, Ani DiFranco said, "I'm not a religious person myself. I'm an atheist. How unfortunate it is to assign responsibility to the higher up for justice amongst people."
And this is her song, Evolve. We're going to play a little bit of it. Ani DiFranco sings about religious fundamentals.
They are locking us, sons and our daughters in cages. They are taking by the thousands our lives from under. It's a curse, curse, force in religious fundamentals. Now let's all go to war, get some bang for our buck. And I am trying to
Ani DiFranco trying to evolve. We're going to hear some more of Ani DiFranco's music today between segments, including Evolve, Jukebox, Shy, and Gravel.
And as I said at the show's opening, today is the 233rd anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution. It was adopted October 17th, let's do the math right, wasn't it 1787? And we ran an ad, a full-page ad today in the New York Times to celebrate this, and it says, "Celebrate and preserve our godless Constitution." And it points out that the United States was first among nations to adopt an entirely secular Constitution, placing sovereignty not in a divinity, but in we, the people, and warns that this precious principle has never been under greater assault by a hostile judiciary and Christian nationalism. And we invite people to help the Freedom From Religion Foundation ensure that true religious liberty, reason, and our secular constitution will prevail. We quote the principal founder of FFRF, the late Anne Gaylor, who said wisely, "Unless religion is kept in its place, all personal rights will be in jeopardy." And the ad also says, "Vote like your rights depend on it," because they do.
And speaking of voting.
Yes, speaking of voting, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is trying to do our bit. So we have let our staff of about 30 know that any of them feel healthy enough, that they want to be a poll worker, that they're not high risk, that the Freedom From Religion Foundation will pay their day's wages just like always. It'll be paid by FFRF. They also will get a stipend, of course, from the government and a bonus here in Madison. And we invite all businesses and nonprofits to offer this to their employees, because during COVID, the mainstay of poll workers, who are usually senior citizens, are understandably very cautious about risking their health, and so there's a shortage. So we are very pleased to make that offer.
Blasphemy, as we say, is a victimless crime, but in some parts of the world, it is still a crime, even for children. The child rights agency UNICEF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and many other groups have condemned the sentencing of a 13-year-old boy to 10 years in prison for blasphemy in northern Nigeria.
And what did he do to write that, Dan?
Omar Farouk was convicted in Sharia court in Kano State after he was accused of using foul language toward Allah in an argument with a friend. His punishment is in violation of the African Charter of Rights and Welfare of a Child and the Nigerian Constitution. His attorney said they've not been granted access to Farouk by the authorities. Blasphemy, he said, is not recognized by Nigerian law. He said, the attorney said, that Farouk's mother had to flee to a neighboring town after mobs descended on their home following his arrest. Everyone here is scared to speak and living under fear of reprisal. So Kano State, like most predominantly Muslim states in Nigeria, practices Sharia law alongside secular law. So, of course, we feel that nobody, child or adult, should be persecuted for blasphemy under any kind of law.
Well, it's atrocious. A good reason why we must all fight against blasphemy. We have made inquiries to that attorney to see if there's something FFRF can do.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has brought an end to a Tennessee school district's preachy misuse of its official social media. A concerned complainant contacted us to report that in July, the Alamo City School District posted a graphic on its official Facebook page encouraging students and parents to park, pray every day, PPE.
So ridiculous.
And it's a long religious message, and it's directed at the public saying, let's provide our children, teachers, staff, and administrators with all the PPE they need. Are you driving past the school? Pull in, park, and pray for our children, teachers, and staff. If you're going by a school building or a bus lot, do your part. Park and pray every day.
So we got them to take that poster down, right?
It was unconstitutional. Brendan Johnson wrote a note to them, and the school district has reacted by saying, we've removed that post from our website. Thank you for letting us know.
Yes, and how ridiculous that they would even encourage any traffic in a school parking lot. I mean, talk about hazards. So we also know that one of the biggest state church issues of the past week is this priest in La Crosse who issued this video that said you cannot be a Catholic and a Democrat. We talked about this a little bit last week. He threatened Catholic Democrats with the fires of hell. And so the Freedom From Religion Foundation has asked the Internal Revenue Service to look into that unlawful partisan politicking, not only by him, but by a Catholic bishop in Texas who went on to endorse this political screed as part of his official duties on Catholic website. And this involves Father James Altman in La Crosse, and it also involves Bishop Joseph Strickland, who's in Tyler, Texas, who told everybody to heed this message. And
Annie Laurie, you were interviewed for a WKBT News 8000 TV story about this priest.
A video by Father James Altman, a priest at St. James the Less Catholic Church in La Crosse, is getting a lot of mixed reactions by those who have seen it. It's already been viewed some 400,000 times. And the video shows Father Altman making claims against the Democratic Party. And among other things, also claims that you cannot be a Democrat and also be Catholic. And now the Freedom From Religion Foundation has filed a complaint about this activity with the IRS because nonprofits like churches are prohibited from directly or indirectly making statements or participating in political campaigns.
It's a violation of the IRS code for churches or other tax-exempt nonprofits to engage in partisan politicking. But in this case, Father Altman I think, is enraging a lot of people. Not only did he seem to film this in a church, so it makes it look like the church is endorsing it, but he was telling his fellow Catholics, if you don't vote the way I want you to, you're going to go to hell.
Well, Gaylor also pointed out that the La Crosse Diocese has already condemned the video, but Gaylor wants the IRS to investigate diocesan ties to it, including who paid for the video.
And of course, Joseph Strickland and the priest involved in this were talking about how it was a sin to be a particular kind of a voter. And we're glad to see that the Vatican consultant did say it's not a sin to be a Democrat or a Republican. FFRF, of course, is nonpartisan. But there is no sin except ignorance. And this is what they are both guilty of.
So along similar lines, FFRF is also contacting the IRS about a Denver archdiocese. On August 27th, the last night of the Republican National Convention, the Archbishop of Denver, Samuel Aquila, tweeted a meme of two nuns, one above the other. The top nun was RNC, the bottom nun was DNC, and the DNC nun was labeled a lobbyist who does not follow the church's teachings on abortion. This is clearly political, and this violation is compounded because it was committed not just with tithes and private donations, but with taxpayer funds. The Archdiocese of Denver received nearly $2 million in taxpayer money under the Paycheck Protection Program, which means that every one of us taxpayers was forced to contribute to the spread of Roman Catholic dogma and also the particular proclivities of this particular archbishop. We're asking the IRS to commence an immediate investigation of the Archdiocese of Denver and take appropriate action to remedy violations of their nonprofit regulations.
And we have the same issue going on in Milwaukee. It's not so much political as it is a health issue. We have condemned the irresponsible spiritual blackmail of an order by the Milwaukee Archbishop just this last Sunday that parishioners must return to in-person Mass or else. Milwaukee Archbishop Jerome Listecki, who presides over 10 counties, has instructed Catholics in a formal letter that those, quote, who deliberately fail to attend Sunday Mass commit a grave sin. And he warned that the fear of getting sick is no excuse. He did make a few exceptions. But this is very concerning. It has been concerning to civic officials in Milwaukee because we have a huge spike right now in COVID-19 in the state of Wisconsin. At the point that he announced this, it was alarmingly at 20% testing positive. And more than 25,000 people have gotten the novel coronavirus in Milwaukee. Over 400 confirmed deaths. And here again, this archdiocese received between $2 million and $5 million in pandemic aid, but it isn't being patriotic. It takes that taxpayer money and then it issues things that will endanger lives. So we condemn it.
Earlier this month, a group called Magic City Equality put up a rainbow flag outside the city hall in Minot, North Dakota, with the mayor's approval to mark the start of the Pride Festival. Some outraged citizens showed up to a city council meeting to protest. Some were even reading Bible verses in opposition to LGBTQ equality. While one of the Christians was testifying against the flag, Councilwoman Carrie Evans spoke up.
Please go ahead.
So, Mr. Walker, if you're not aware, and I think a lot of people in this room are not aware and have come here just because this is a gay issue, I am proudly the first openly elected lesbian in North Dakota. So that is why I'm not paying any heed to your crap. We the people, I'm the people, I live in Minot, I have a taxpayer, I am a person. I get to see myself represented on that flagpole just as much as the people who got the Juneteenth flag last month, as much as the POW MIAs will get later this month. Every single person is entitled to see themselves represented. We are not some group of people who live in San Francisco or Seattle. We are here. We are your brothers. We are your sisters. And don't tell me you're not hatred and anger. That's all I feel. I've had to listen to it for days now, as is the mayor and many of my colleagues. It is unacceptable. This city is big enough for all of us. Me having a flag flying doesn't take away anything from your rights and freedoms. It shows me I live in a city that appreciates and embraces me and the people of my community, and that I can live here and feel safe. I'm sorry it doesn't make you feel comfortable, but we're here, we're queer, and we're not going away.
So, again, there were Bible verses read in opposition to the LGBTQ flag flying. She mentioned we the people. That is in the preamble of our godless and secular constitution, which is 233 years old today. Happy birthday, and let's work not just to celebrate, but to preserve that secular constitution.
We're going to take a break, but after that, we're going to remember the poet and Darwin scholar, Philip Appleman, by hearing one of his irreverent poems set to music, and by hearing an interview he gave on PBS's Bill Moyers Journal. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're memorializing Philip Appleman, who was a very prominent poet who died at age 94 recently, was professor emeritus in the Department of English at Indiana University, a leading Darwin scholar, a fantastic, memorable poet, and a longtime member and supporter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a good friend, who's left us 8 volumes of poetry, including Darwin's Ark, Karma, Dharma, Pudding and Pie, Let There Be Light, Perfidious Proverbs, with a foreword by Dan. And so, Dan, what are we going to listen to?
Well, let's listen to Philip and his wife, Marjorie Appleman, reading a few lines of Phil's poem, Noah, which is from the book Let There Be Light.
Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that there's a space problem here? A boat only 450 feet long. And wouldn't you know, it's Japheth who opens up, so to speak, the can of worms.
Dad, there are thousands of species of worms. Who's going digging for them? And oh yes, how about the insects?
Shem rebels at last.
Insects? Dad, do we have to save insects?
Noah, faithful servant, quotes the word.
Every living thing. So far, we've got dragonflies, damselflies, locusts and aphids, grasshoppers, mantises, crickets and termites. Wait a minute. Termites? We're going to save termites in a wooden boat?
But Japheth knows that arguing with Noah is like driving a nail into chicken soup. He shrugs and carries on.
Dad, we haven't even scratched the surface. Even if we unload all the other animals, the insects alone will sink the ark.
Termites, that's the punchline. And we are going to listen to Philip Appleman's ironic poem, God's Grandeur, which sets redoes this poem Tree. And
no, it doesn't. God's grandeur is based on
a
Bible verse,
where it says,
God will laugh
right
at the trials of the innocent.
And Dan, you set it to music and you perform it.
God will laugh at the trial of the innocent. When they hunger and thirst, and I send down a famine. When they pray for the sun, and I drown them with rain. And they beg me for reasons, my only reply is, I never apologize, never explain. When the angel of death is a black wind around them, and children are dying in terrible pain, then they burn little candles in churches, but still I never apologize, never explain. When the Christians kill Jews, and the Jews kill the Muslims, and Muslims kill writers they think are profane, they clamor for peace or for reasons at least, but I never apologize, never explain. When they wail about murder and torture and rape, when Abel complains about Cain, when they ask me just why I had planned it like this, I never apologize, never explain. Of course, if they're smart, they can figure it out. The reason is perfectly, perfectly plain. It's because I just happen to like it this way. So I never apologize, never explain.
That was Dan Barker singing God's Grandeur, a poem by the late Philip Appleman, whom we are memorializing. Dan set that poem to music, several of his others as well. You can find that on FFRF's Friendly Neighborhood Atheist CD, available at ffrf.org/shop, or it's on iTunes, correct, Dan?
It is. At some of the other music providers, you can find that. All three of FFRF's albums, by the way, are available.
And I was thinking of Fleas.
Yeah.
When I misspoke, he rewrote the poem Trees, and
yeah,
from the point of view of not the great stuff that God is credited with, but what about the fleas?
I think that I shall never see a poem as ugly as a flea.
We'll have to play that another
time.
We've
also played on this show before his song, which is quite appropriate, I think, these days, called In a Dark Time.
Right, we might play that again.
About, you know, infections and religious infections and all that that we are suffering through.
So after the break, we are going to hear an interview of Philip Appleman by Bill Moyers, who was a huge fan, as were so many people. He was a major poet. He's a great loss to poetry and to the free thought and humanist community. And that was from the Bill Moyers Journal on PBS. So you won't want to miss it. And he does read some of his wonderful poetry.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
In
it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are remembering Philip Appleman, a major distinguished poet, scholar of Darwin, a free thinker. He was a life member of the Freedom from Religion Foundation many times over, along with his wife, the playwright Marjorie Appleman, who survives him, and then they became afterlife members of FFRF, and we will miss them sorely, miss him sorely.
In 2012, Philip Appleman appeared on the PBS TV show Bill Moyer's Journal. During that interview, which touches on Phil's free thought and humanist views, he read the irreverent poems Eve and God's Grandeur. He also read Parable of the Perfidious Proverbs, which FFRF was honored to publish first in our newspaper, Free Thought Today, and that's the title of one of his books, A Satiric Look at the Bible. Here is the Bill Moyer's Journal.
Faithful viewers of this broadcast know that from time to time, we ask poets to drop by and share their work with us. This time, our guest is the versatile Philip Appleman, whose creativity spans a long life filled with verse, fiction, philosophy, science, religion, and above all, moments of everyday experience captured like the glint of the sun sparkling through a crystal glass. Just take a look at a sample of his legacy. Darwin, Apes and Angels, Darwin's Ark, In the 12th Year of the War, Open Doorways, and this, my favorite, Summer Love and Surf, about the joys and wonders of loving and living. His latest book of poems is Perfidious Proverbs. A fellow poet said that to watch Philip Appleman sling words is to be richly regaled. I quite agree. Welcome, Philip.
Wonderful to be here, Bill.
I have long thought of poetry as music to be heard best in the voice of the composer. So let's go right to some of your poems.
Good. I love it.
Here's one of my favorites, and I think it's one of your favorites too, Eve. Tell me about that poem.
20 years ago, I published a book called Let There Be Light. It was a series of satires on various biblical stories, and Eve, being one of the first, came out at the head of the list. And shall I read it?
Please.
Eve is kind of reflecting on the snake at first. Clever he was, so slick he could weave words into sunshine. When he murmured another refrain of that shimmering promise, "You shall be as gods," something with wings whispered back in my heart, and I crunched the apple. A taste so good I just had to share it with Adam. And all of a sudden, we were naked. Oh, yes, we were nude before, but now, grabbing for fig leaves, we knew that we knew too much, just as the slippery serpent said. So we crouched all day under the rhododendrons, trembling at something bleak and windswept in our bellies that soon we'd learn to call by its right name, fear. God was furious with the snake and hacked off his legs on the spot. And for us, it was thorns and thistles, sweat of the brow, dust to dust returning. In that sizzling skyful of spite whirled the whole black storm of the future, the flint knife in Abel's heart, the incest that swelled us into a tribe, a nation, and brought us all, like driven lambs, straight to his flood. I blamed it on human nature even then, when there were only two humans around. And if human nature was a mistake, whose mistake was it? I didn't ask to be cursed with curiosity. I only wanted the apple, and of course that promise, to be like gods. But then, maybe we are like gods. Maybe we're all exactly like gods. And maybe that's our really original sin.
The original sin. Hubris, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You've said that's one of your favorites. What makes it a favorite?
Well, I like the personal tone of Eve, who doesn't get to say anything in the Bible to speak of, and to turn her into a kind of down-to-earth reinterpreter of that. Kind of tickles me, that's all.
She finally gets to tell her own story.
Right.
Did you ever wonder about the silence in that story of the first woman, as it says?
Yeah. No woman I know would tolerate it.
Exactly. Now, here's one that we like especially. It's one of the five poems of Pagans that you did. And this is one of the short ones. Would you read that one? And by the way, tell us what Mammon is for those who haven't been reading the Bible lately.
Well, Mammon is the love of money and greed, and he's the god of wealth. I call it my Bernie Madoff poem.
Read on.
Oh, Mammon, thou who art daily dissed by everyone, yet boast more true disciples than all other gods together. Thou whose eerie sheen gleameth from corporate headquarters and Vatican treasury alike. Thou whose glittering eye impales us in the X-ray vision of plastic surgeons, the golden leer of televangelists, the star-spangled gloat of politicos. O Mammon, come down to us in the form of treasuries, annuities, and high-grade bonds. Yield unto us those Benedict Arnold funds, those quicksand convertible securities, even the wet Judas kiss of futures contracts. For unto the least of these, thy supplicants, art thou welcome in all thy many forms. But when thou comest to say we're finally in the gentry, use the service entry.
Do you ever go back and say, well, that's one of my first children? I mean, I remember, I'd forgotten that kid, but now I realize that it is my poem.
Yeah, I love reading the early poems as much as the late ones. I brought along a poem, which it would be an interruption sort of the thrust here, but...
That's what life is about, a series of constant interruptions, Philip. Go ahead.
The first thing you see in this book is a dedication. It's for Margie, my wife. We're looking forward to our 62nd anniversary this summer. And the dedication says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. But because Margie is home and has had a stroke and is ill, I would like to read a poem for her, if you don't mind.
Please do.
It's from a book called Summer Love and Surf, which came out in 1968, and it's the most beautiful book. It was so beautifully designed that it won the design contest for that year. And it was written when we were living out in Malibu in one of those houses that build on stilts, and it's so far on the beach that at high tide, the ocean is gurgling under your bedroom, and we love it there. And this is a young love poem. And in recent years, I've written poems for our 50th anniversary and our 60th anniversary, which are very old love poems. But this is sort of back at the beginning. Summer Love and Surf. Morning was hesitating when you swam at me through wave on wave of sheet and blanket, glowing like some dimly sighted flora at the bottom of the sea. Around your filmy hair, light was seeping in with water sounds, low growling in the distance like dragons chained. After our small storm dwindled, we faced the rage outside, swells humping up and charging in to curl and pause and dash themselves to soapsuds on the stork-legged pilings of our house. The roar was hoarser now. The wrecks of kelp were heaping food for flies, our long-nosed sandbirds staying close to dry land. Farther out, pelicans arched their wings in quick surprise, and gulls screamed urgently. The call was there. We fought the breakers out and rode their fury back, triumphant and again triumphant, till at last, ears stuffed with brine and heads aspin like aging boxers battered, we flopped face down on hot sand, smelling sun and salt and steaming skin. Your eyes were suddenly all sleep and love, there in the sun, with seabirds calling. The sky goes metal at the end, water gray and hostile, lashing out between the day and night, Plastic swans are threatened. Deck chairs, yellow towels, barbecues stand naked to the peril as if it were winter come by stealth. Still later, in the lee of dark and warmth, we probe the ancient fear. At night, the sea is safer under glass, the crude wild thing half-tamed to shed its past. Galleons sent to 50 fathoms, mountains hacked to rubble, cities stripped. At night, the sea, barbaric bellows stifled, sprawls outside the window, framed like a dark, unruly landscape. Behind us is a darker kind of dark. I watch your eyes for signals. The music makes a pause for prophecy. Tomorrow, offshore breezes and warmth to each other's warmth. We do not listen.
That was how long ago?
1968.
You had been married.
You'd been married 18 years at that point.
That is Philip Appleman on the PBS show Bill Moyers Journal, recorded in 2012. Phil Appleman died this year at the age of 94. When we come back, we're going to hear the rest of that very lovely interview. You won't want to miss it.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
We're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are listening to the conclusion of Bill Moyers' interview of Philip Appleman, a distinguished poet, a wonderful person, a freethinker, an atheist, author. And this is the end of that interview from Bill Moyers.
How does love change from then to now?
It gets more profound, more essential. It was very strong right from the beginning. We met on the first day of French class at Northwestern University in 1946, and we've been together ever since.
She became a playwright, didn't she?
She's a playwright, and her plays have been produced about 60 times, mostly in New York and Los Angeles. I appreciate her work on my poetry and other things I write. She is a wonderful critic. 4 years ago, she had a stroke, and that kind of put an end to her writing. So that was a very sad thrust.
How could you have such faith in love?
It's always been there for me, and it keeps me consciously aware that I'm not alone on this earth yet. We're up in our 80s now, so there'll be a time sometime soon when I will be alone. But while I'm here, the thing that I most value is that love.
Is that the source of the meaning in your life? I mean, you had this remarkable essay that had a profound impact on me a few years ago on how the meaning of life comes out of the moment you're acting, out of your choices every moment of how you will live that life. Meaning is not out there, you say. It is in the doing of the moment.
Right. You create your own definition. You create your own meaning as you act. I was brought up in a small Indiana town, went to a fundamentalist church, and when I was about 13, thought my mission was to be a missionary to darkest Africa and bring the message. That cleared away a couple of years later. But
why did it clear away?
I kept reading books and finding out things, and after a while I realized that what I believed in didn't have much to do with reality. And I studied Catholicism for a while, and I went on to take on all the other belief systems. I read all the holy books of the Quran and the Buddhists and the Hindus, and I spent years doing that, searching for the meaning of life out there, and eventually, having gone through it all, decided I had to decide on these things for myself, and so I left the holy books behind and started making my own philosophy of life, which pretty much is in the essay you were talking about. So I consider myself a humanist, not just an atheist, but a humanist.
Which means?
Means someone who wishes he could work for the betterment of the human condition without reference to supernatural things.
Well, you do often in your poems. I think of another poem that also has been a favorite of mine called simply Gertrude. Would you tell me about this one and read it?
Yes. My mother was one of those saintly mothers that some of us are lucky enough to have. Her name was Gertrude, and she was struck by rheumatoid arthritis when she was about 40. And spent a great part of her life after that in bed or in a wheelchair or something. She was hit very hard. And all of her children, my three sisters and I, did everything we could to help, but nothing worked. And finally, she died at the age of 75. I wish that all the people who peddle God could watch my mother die, could see the skin and gristle weighing only 79, every stubborn pound of flesh a small death. I wish the people who peddle God could see her young, lovely in gardens and beautiful in kitchens, and could watch the hand of God slowly twisting her knees and fingers till they gnarled and knotted, settling in for 30 years of pain. I wish the people who peddle God could see the lightning of his cancer striking her, the small frame tensing at every shock, her sweet contralto scratchy with the Lord's infection. Philip, I want to die. I wish I had them gathered round, those preachers, popes, rabbis, imams, priests, every pious shill on God's payroll, and I would pull the sheets from my mother's brittle body, and they would fall on their knees at her bedside to be forgiven all their faith.
That's very powerful. And in contrast to all of the people both of us know, some of them who find faith a consolation at the time of death. That's intriguing how the human beings walk such different paths when it comes to religion.
When Margie's mother died, she was another saint, but she died regretting to herself all the sins she had had in her life. And of course, she hadn't really had any sins, but a little shortcoming. She forgot to say thank you to someone or something like that. And the whole thing came crashing in on her, and she was convinced she was going to go to hell.
This one is from Karma Dharma Pudding and Pie. Will you read that?
This poem has an epigraph from Job. It says, God will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The poem is called God's Grandeur. When they hunger and thirst, and I send down a famine, when they pray for the sun, and I drown them with rain, and they beg me for reasons, my only reply is, I never apologize, never explain. When the angel of death is a black wind around them, and children are dying in terrible pain, then they burn little candles in churches, but still I never apologize, never explain. When the Christians kill Jews, and Jews kill the Muslims, and Muslims kill writers they think are profane, they clamor for peace, or for reasons at least, but I never apologize, never explain. When they wail about murder and torture and rape, an unlucky Abel complains about Cain, and they ask me just why I had planned it like this, I never apologize, never explain. Of course, if they're smart, they can figure it out. The best of all reasons is perfectly plain. It's because I just happen to like it this way. So I never apologize, never explain.
Job kept asking why.
Poor thing, yeah.
And never got an answer.
No.
Jesus himself, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right, yeah.
No answer.
Yeah. I'm not so impervious to the world that I don't know that religion does a lot of good sometimes. Some religious people really are good, and they want to do good. But unfortunately, so many religious people let the religions lead them into hatred.
What gives you happiness? What gives you joy?
Poetry does, music does, theater does, but mostly I think it's just having my wife and living quietly and enjoying being together. I think that's the greatest thing in my life.
Philip Appleman, thank you very much for being with me.
Thank you.
And that was Philip Appleman on the Bill Moyers Journal. And this concludes our memorial for Philip Appleman, who just died this year, the poet laureate of free thought, a Darwin scholar.
And he died this spring, we just learned belatedly, so he did not have a chance to cast his vote in the upcoming presidential election. But if you're listening and you're a U.S. citizen, you have that right. And cast it for him. You have to vote like
cast
our,
it for him, for Phil. You
for
mean.
Phil.
Okay.
And make sure that you have your absentee ballot requested if you live in one of the many states where you either get it automatically or you have to ask for it. There's about 34 states, including Wisconsin, where you got to ask for it. You can still do that. You can do that online. Early voting in many states is starting almost immediately in October. States like Wisconsin, it starts later, October 20th. Find out, make a plan, know when and how and where you are going to vote and have a contingency. You can find out more at rockthevote.org. That's rock as in rabbit, rockthevote.org. Many other nonpartisan websites that will tell you how and where to vote, or go to your local governmental board and make that plan and vote.
We want to say greetings to our listeners in Philadelphia to WOOM, in Madison, Wisconsin to WIDE and WMUU, in Janesville, Wisconsin to WADR, in College Station, Texas to KEOS, in Columbia, Missouri to KOPN, in Vermont, New Hampshire, WOOL Black Sheep Radio, in Watkins Glen and Ithaca, New York to WRFI. And I think a few more stations are going to be coming online pretty quickly here. And hello to all you podcast listeners. Give us a thumbs up on your podcast provider and tell people to visit our website at ffrf.org/radio.
And ask for more information at ffrf.org or join us at ffrf.org. Support Free Thought Radio by becoming a member, and you do so much more by supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation and our significant work. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.